Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. From frontline combat support hospitals to its TRICARE program, the military health system provides healthcare services to its troops and their families on multiple fronts. Today, military medicine is saving hundreds of lives that previously would have been lost on the battlefield. Better training and medical readiness of service personnel have contributed to this success. A critical component in sustaining the medical readiness of U.S. service personnel is DOD's TRICARE program. With us this morning to discuss the TRICARE program is our special guest, Major General Elder Granger, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity within the Department of Defense. Good morning, General.
Good morning, and thank you.
And joining us in our conversation is Russ Sanford, partner in IBM's DOD consulting practice. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
General, to provide proper context around the subject of military medicine, could you give us a general sense of the purpose, mission, and scale of the Department of Defense's health affairs and specifically the military health system?
I would tell you, the military health system, first of all, its mission is to provide world-class health care anywhere, anytime to more than 9.2 million beneficiaries scattered throughout the globe and around the world. And what we really want to do is making sure that we're training a medical force, deploy with our military line force. We're making sure we're protecting that force that we deploy with. And third thing we're doing, we're putting in preventative health care and managing the health of our military communities. That's what I see our overall mission when you start looking at the military health care system. And how does TRICARE fit in that big piece? I call it the three legs of what we do. We have a direct care system. We have a purchase care system. And also we have part of the system where we do other things, i.e. with the other contractors, whether it be with pharmacy or with our managed care support contractors. But that's what we call our military health care system.
General, you've given us a brief overview of TRICARE. Can you give us some more specifics in terms of how it's organized, how does it operate, the size of the budget? And finally, how many full-time employees work within your specific organization?
I would say if you look at TRICARE management activity, it was first established in February 1998. And as I stated, it was designed to be that military managed care arm. And it consists of approximately 9.2 million beneficiaries. And we have a staff of approximately 1,500. That include DOD civilians, contractors, as well as military forces. And if you look at the budget, it equates to roughly around about $11 billion. And that budget is designed to take care of our managed care support contractors. And that includes our pharmacy contract, our TRICARE for Life contract, and other small contracts to include a designated provider program.
General, you've told us that TRICARE, you know, given us an idea of the size and the scope of TRICARE, but can you give the listeners an idea of the specific responsibilities and the duties that you hold as the deputy director of the TRICARE management activity?
Absolutely. In my duty, I'm not only deputy director, I'm the chief operating officer for TRICARE. And in that responsibility, I advise Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, Dr. William Winkenwerter, who is the director of TRICARE management activity, on health policies, making sure we're executing the TRICARE program in an appropriate manner. We're holding the contractors responsible and accountable. And also we're doing something that's unique, too. We're working with the contractors as our true partners as we manage the benefit around our beneficiaries. So at the end of the day, you've got the TRICARE leadership, myself, and to include our staff, as well as the services. I cannot leave out that important point as part of managing this $11 billion and growing managed care support, part of the TRICARE program.
Given your responsibility and duties that you've got, as you said, you know, deputy director as well as the COO, what do you view as the top three challenges that you're faced with, and how do you address those challenges?
If I had to look at it this way, I would use what I call the five P's. I call the first P, people. We've got to make sure we've got the right systems in place. And I'm talking about people. I'm talking about our beneficiaries to make sure we're putting in prevention, number one. Number two, we're managing those acute conditions, medical conditions. Number three, we're managing those chronic conditions. That's the first P. And the last thing about that first P, we've got to make sure that our staff are trained to manage this huge responsibility and contract activity. The second P is what I call processes. Do we have the right business processes in place to make sure we're minimizing the risks for our taxpayers with these contractors? And we're trying to see, can we take some of the best practices in terms of processes from the private sector in managing this process or these contracts? The third P I call is prevention. Prevention can be looked at in several different ways. Not only disease prevention, but what are we doing to prevent some of the problems we had years ago with TRICARE in terms of issues with claims not being paid timely? We have a very robust claim process in place that processes over 14 million claims a year with a 99.9% pay on time in less than 30 days in accuracy. That's the second thing. The fourth P I call is, are we truly being productive? Productivity, in my opinion, means you're talking about effectiveness plus efficiency. Are we taking the dollars that we've been entrusted with? Are we being affected? Are we putting in processes to be proficient? And last but not least, are we taking those ideals and inculcating them throughout our entire military healthcare system? The last P, I call it price. We're entrusted with a large amount of money. We started talking about $11 billion. Are we being truly cost-effective with those $11 billion? Are we serving the American public and our government? But at the same time, we're not taking a dollar saying, look, we're going to neglect the health care of those we serve our beneficiaries by not doing the right thing based on dollars. At the end of the day, we don't want to never sacrifice the care we need to take care of those we serve based on the dollar. But we've got to be cost-effective as a healthcare system.
That's a very broad mission, and I like the way you sort of organized it in ways that make sense. Before the show, we had an opportunity to chat a little bit about your career, starting in Arkansas, working your way through Colorado, Germany, and back down to Washington. Can you describe for our listeners your career path? How did you get started in the Army and in medicine?
Well, first of all, I started off in high school working on a program that was called the Neighborhood Youth Program. It was a fellow program started back in the latter 60s and early 70s. Had an opportunity to work at a National Guard Armory in my hometown, West Memphis, Arkansas. And while working there, there was a warrant officer by the name of Chief Long. He took an interest in me. I was attending high school with his daughter. And he asked me would I consider joining the National Guard. And you know, during the early 70s, we were still in Vietnam. And I said, look, I love what they do here in the National Guard. I want to be part of this unit. But he had to convince my parents. So he convinced my parents, and I joined the National Guard under the delayed entry program. I joined as my senior year. I was delayed until I finished high school, and after high school, I went to basic training at Fort Polk in Louisiana. And I always wanted to be in something in medical. So I qualified based on my military test that you take at that time to become a medic. So I served in the National Guard for about 2.5 years, and when I started college in January of 1973, I was walking through freshman orientation. I saw a table over there, and as a freshman, they say, get in each line as you go through these different lines. I saw the ROTC table. There was 3 people at that table. So I said, I'm going to go to this table to try to get by ahead of the crowd. I saw military guys there. So what I did, I walk up there. They're smiling. I'm smiling, too. They said, well, why are you here? I said, well, I was told to go to the next table where there's an empty line or short line. They said, what do you know about ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps, at that time? I said, I have no idea. I said, I'm in the National Guard. And they said, oh, you're in the National Guard? And I said, well, you can sign up for ROTC. If you had good grades or decent grades out of high school, then you can get a scholarship, become part of ROTC. So I applied for the following school year, and I got accepted for an ROTC scholarship. Did well in college. Got accepted to medical school, University of Arkansas. And at that time, we had the Army Health Professional Scholarship Program, and I got accepted for that program. And the rest of it is history. I went to Fitzsimmons after completing medical school at the University of Arkansas, and I trained there in internal medicine, subspecialized in hematology and oncology, which is blood disease and cancer. After that, I decided to stay in the military because my obligation when I completed ROTC plus medical school was a total of 8-year obligation. And with my National Guard time, by the time I finished my obligation, had a total of 14-plus years in.
That's fantastic. Now, you've obviously had some great experiences. I'm curious, how has your experience, both as a medical doctor and as a field commander, prepared you for your current leadership role and shaped the management approach and leadership style that you bring to your role now?
I would say that I practiced medicine practically full time up to about almost 17 years, 18 years of my military career. And I always wanted to be in a position to make a difference in how the system operates in terms of access, quality, you know, all those things we talked about in terms of healthcare, how can we be more efficient and take care of beneficiaries. So I was encouraged around about 1992 when I was a brand new lieutenant colonel. The only way you can improve the system, you've got to get in and take on some leadership roles. So I took my first job as a deputy commander of a hospital at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. Very small hospital, total mission was support the men and women of the Signal and Military Intelligence branch out there at Fort Huachuca. And I sort of got the bug. In that small place, worked with a great team, was able to do a lot to improve health care for that community. And after I left there, I got an opportunity to go back and be with what I call being with the line as a division surgeon at Fort Carson. And each step along the way, working with what we do day-to-day in our military treatment facilities, working with the line, what we do to take care of troops in troop health care or battalion aid station, I saw a need that I couldn't make a difference. As I moved up the system, being commanders, going to the Army War College, with my line colleagues and commanding line stew during a critical time in my military career, USS Cole happened, and I saw a need to continue to stay on that track. And after 9/11, when I left line stew, General Peake, the Army Surgeon General, asked me to come work for him, and I started work 9/11. So I think those jobs, launch to coming back to Washington, being here in Washington, going back to Europe, serving as a regional medical commander and a TRICARE lead agent for all the services in Europe, has really prepared me in such a way to really focus on this job. And last but not least, my experience as a senior medical commander with the 18th Airborne Corps out of Fort Bragg and the commander of the 44th MedCom, being the senior medical commander and surgeon in Iraq, really sort of culminated in preparing me for this job as the deputy director and chief operating officer and senior advisor to Dr. Winkelried on the TRICARE program.
It's just a wonderful set of experiences. How has the level of operational tempo impacted TRICARE's ability to manage and provide health care services to service members? We will ask Major General Elder Granger, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activities, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.